he received from Jesus Christ the gift of the Holy Spirit, which he had, on which I use, in superabundance. And man, your wisdom is the highest of the gifts that we receive. And if you, the Lord, is the lowest in objective importance, the gift of counsel is the gift which builds on wisdom, enables us to watch this, to not just fear to offend God. Our gift of counsel enlightens us on how we are to serve God in order to praise Him more than we have to. And I want to spend another minute or two on this subject before we go on. As I've said so many times, the spiritual exercises, as St. Ignatius both understood them and wrote them, are meant not herein, not directly meant for people who want to avoid sin. We are to avoid sin, please God. But their spiritual exercises are meant for those who want to go beyond, beyond serving God, to avoid being punished by God. And before we go any further, the gift of counsel is not only the counsel or direction we need from the Holy Spirit to avoid sin and escape hell. No, the gift of counsel is mainly to direct our minds to do more than we're obliged to do. I repeat, under penalty of sin, in whatever decisions you make through this retreat, I beg of the Lord, still exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, to enlighten you through His gift of counsel, which He sent the Holy Spirit to control in all of us. You might be able to recognize, know what we can do more than we have to do, and should I add, do more than we are doing. Either you will be more generous, either you will be more generous in doing God's will beyond committing sin than you have been before you began this retreat, or I am wasting your time. Now, the basic question we've been asking. First, what is the gift of counsel? In the Church's teaching, the gift of counsel elevates the virtue of prudence. As you know, there are four basic moral virtues, also called the cardinal virtues. They are the cardinals, the hinges around which our whole moral life revolves. The first of the four moral virtues is a virtue of prudence. is a virtue which enables the mind to know what should be done and how it should be done. That's the virtue of prudence. And it is called the queen of the virtues. In order to practice, you name the virtue. But in order to practice, hear it. Even the virtue of charity, prudently. You mean we can be imprudent in our practice of love? Can we ever? Very industrious. We overcome our natural tendency to laziness. Do we have to be prudent in, well, exerting ourselves? But the gift of counsel, I repeat, is intended to elevate supernaturally the virtue of prudence. All this needs to be said. There are actions that, on the natural level, may seem to be and may be very imprudent. Remember our Lord, after raising Lazarus from the dead, chapter 11 of John's Gospel. No sooner did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and remember, the Pharisees said, this is too much. He left this man, mind you, this man, gone. The whole world will believe in him. So they decided, they will kill him as soon as possible. They hold the laws of natural prudence. As the disciples complained to our Lord, he should not have gone to Jerusalem. Where he foresaw, he knew exactly what would happen. What did he do? He went to Jerusalem, and he followed not the natural prudence that he surely possessed, but responded to the supernatural gift of counsel. Now we need, before we close this meditation, want to make it very clear, we are living not a natural life. We need something more than all the natural prudence that we may possess. We need the gift of counsel. How does the gift of counsel elevate, or the church says, perfect? How does the gift of counsel perfect the virtue of prudence? Enabling us to judge with the mind, then choose with the will what God wants, and do so promptly, do so correctly, do it as it were intuitively. I have 3 pages of notes. Every once in a while, I will look at these notes to make sure I am logical in my presentation. But how I rely on the Holy Spirit to provide me with the gift of counsel, to say what he knows far better now, what a safe statement, what he knows you need. And he better give me that insight immediately, otherwise, wait. Meditate. Think. What should I say next? In our lives, all of us are frequently, dare I say even daily, faced with situations where we must decide immediately. Am I clear? I'm on the telephone. They're calling me from a distant city. I did not expect the call. Let's make sure I know who's calling. And then, and I mean this, every time I pick up the telephone, the first thing I do is pray. Of course, in silence. Believing that I possess, as I trust we all do, the gift of counsel. We need the light of the Holy Spirit. Shall I use the expression? Right away. And not just to say something, or to say, hear it. Or the Holy Father, change the word, or the Holy Spirit, excuse on my mind. But the Holy Spirit wants not so much me to say, but the person that I'm talking to needs. And the gift of counsel is especially needed in making the difficult, painful decisions in our lives. I thought I would share with you a short comparison between the virtue of prudence and the gift of counsel. To practice prudence, we should reflect, carefully think through beforehand. But the gift of counsel enables us to make a decision instantly. Again, the virtue of prudence requires that we analyze with the pros and cons. And, you know, I'm quoting our Lord, how precious this statement to his disciples has been for me. Well, they deliver you up. Christ is talking to his disciples. Take no thought about what you want to say or how you want to say it. The Spirit will enlighten you on what to say. And we're living in a world where we need, and I like to stand with speak so I can watch the audience. He has fallen asleep. The gift of counsel is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the closer we are to God, the more faithful we are in doing His divine will, the more spontaneously, the more easily, the more supernaturally He will know exactly what to say, what to do, the moment we have to either say it or do it. One reason I have recommended, and will continue recommending, reading the lives of saints. I won't ask for a raising of hands. How many of you have even one life of one saint at home? Don't raise your hands. This retreat may cost you money. I did tell you, didn't I? The 3-day retreat that Tom Monahan made, remember? My estimate is that retreat is so far cost him $30 million. Most expensive retreat I've ever given. Get some lives of the saints. Okay. Read them. And be sure the lives of the saints are not just praying the screen to the skies, but dealing the problems, the trials, the temptations of the saints. Take a woman like Catherine of Siena. Uneducated woman, enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And then the Bishop of Rome, as I'm sure you know, well, a good man, but not acting as wisely as he should. This woman, what shall I say, had the nerve, the supernatural courage, to His Holiness, Holy Father, You are the Holy Father. I believe You are the Vicar of Christ. Hear it. However, that you proceed with your telling Him, surely, guided by the Holy Spirit and providing Him with the counsel that He and the Holy Father need. I let her quote my Father in God, St. Ignatius. He tells us to be obedient. For me, the hardest virtue, for me, the most difficult vow, my consecrated life, obedience. What? Thanks, St. Ignatius. He tells us you are to practice enlightened obedience. When you disagree with your superior, tell him. Isn't that neat? And explain why you disagree. Then pray. And if you still think that what you believe God wants you to do, then tell your superior, God wants me to act in this way. Only an Ignatius would have the nerve to say that. That is all right. My last vacation as a Jesuit was in 1941. I'm sure many of you have been born since 1941. I talk to my superiors, trusting in the gift of counsel. I don't need a vacation. Let me be clear. We need this gift of counsel to enlighten us about everything we do in our lives. And today's church, so widely confused, not the church, but not a few even of her leaders. How we need this gift to know where to go to Mass, what homilies we should listen to, what we should say, for example, to pray when our judgment before God, we believe they are wrong. Not sure if I've said this before. Not identify the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, but in New York, in the Bronx, a priest was chaplain to the Missionaries of Charity. His homilies were not good. His liturgy was equally not good. The superior came with him, Father, please. The sisters are being both offended and even scandalized. Nothing happened. Then Mother Teresa told the superior, and I say, New York, the priest was living in Chicago, Mother Superior, or then the United States, was living in New York. Mother Teresa ordered the superior to go from New York to Chicago, meet his eminence, and tell him Your Eminence, Mother Teresa came with his order to tell you, you have 2 weeks, 2 weeks to remove this chaplain within Chicago. Otherwise, all the missionaries of charity will leave the Archdiocese of Chicago. It is to say, His Eminence was a wise man. He removed that chaplain. In today's confused world, how desperately, I use that adverb deliberately, how desperately we need this gift of counsel to know what to do, what to say, what not to do, what not to say. It is the gift which enlightens the mind so that we will practice the virtue of prudence superhumanly. Even under divine guidance, do things or say things that by all the laws of natural psychology are unwise. Oh, how many hours I could speak on the price I've paid for trying in my own faltering way to live up to this gift of counsel. Be gone. How necessary is this gift? It is and has been always necessary. But remember, the gift of counsel came with the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And among the gifts that are strengthened by the sacrament of confirmation is, with emphasis, the gift of counsel. Why is this gift so important? I'm speaking as a man, masculine gender, to men. We're living in a world, and surely in a society, that is so widely dominated by powers that are not consistent and obedient with the will of God. This gift of counsel enables us to live a decisive life. I know of nothing, to watch my language, I know of nothing that we men, I repeat, masculine gender, need more today than to be decisive. And the reason, as I've told maybe some of you, at the Carnegie Zente meeting in Chicago, when I spoke about the United States being the most powerful Marxist nation in the world today. If there is one thing, many other things, there's one thing that Karl Marx wanted to remove from society, it was the authority of men, masculine gender. In our country, it has succeeded, I was going to say phenomenally, I want to change the other, demonically. We need decisiveness. And both men and women, but especially men, in today's Marxified United States. Now we need to be confident. Confident that the decisions we make are those which are backed not only by God's grace enlightening us, by God's grace in strengthening us to carry through. No wonder the national average in the United States is now over 50% about American marriages and divorce. Do you hear? Now we need to be decisive, not just to make a decision, but to remain faithful to what we've decided. Why? Because we made the decision not only with our own minds, but with, dare I say, the help of the mind of God. Let me be a little more clear. The gift of counsel depends on our being faithful and responsive to the gifts of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. These gifts are deeply interdependent. My notes tell me to say his gift of counsel is, I use this word deliberately, is desperately needed by bishops, by priests, by leaders of the church, and especially among you married men, by you fathers. Without this gift, our lives would be one lifelong confusion. Go on. How to grow and develop his gift in our minds. Strange first recommendation. We need to have a deep, deep humility of mind. We say we are to distrust our own intellect. And the more intellectual we are, well, I know, the more stupid we can be. Trusting our own minds rather than in the mind of the God whose life we need to direct our intellect. We need a deep sense of my own weakness and ignorance. And I stress the words, my own. That is why, and in one single, or you want to say declarative sentence, I'll change it. In one single imperative sentence. Pray, pray, pray as you never prayed before. And the main reason for prayer is to have light for the mind. One thing I can safely say, I am not a pious coop. I've had too much experience. I've known too many people. And the most dangerous people in their own lives, dangerous to themselves, and dangerous to others, are the intellectuals who do not pray. how we need, I'm talking about the how do you grow in this gift of counsel. My praying more deeply, more fervently, shall I say, more constantly than we've ever prayed before. Why? So that the decision be automatic. That's what the gift of counsel is all about. To be decisive, but hear it. I'll be decisive depending on my own wisdom. Ourselves, you're all stupid fools. I mean it. We are by ourselves walking idiots. And I mean them. And the most idiotic are the intellectuals. And well, I know who depend on their own intellects. Independent. How stupid can you be? We need the Holy Spirit. That is why I wouldn't dare talk this language. As with God's grace, I've been trying to live this kind of life myself. To ask the Lord, show me, O Lord, your way. And teach me your paths. Unquote, sacred scripture. All you need is to say Jesus. All you need is to say, my God. But ask him, and I mean this, throughout the day, and depending on among whom you work, or with whom you live, try to avoid using your lips when you pray. Talking a repeat from 51 years experience in the priesthood. In God's providence, He has placed some important persons into my life. And the one thing I never tire of repeating, and this is the members of the hierarchy, Excellency, or in some cases, Your Eminence. Pray. In order that the decision we make will not be just our own. Because by ourselves, in any age, and certainly in our age, we cannot know what we should do, how we should do it, what we should say, how to say it. That is why, as I'm sure I've said this more than once, most of my writing for publication over the years has been written before the Blessed Sacrament. That is why I encourage the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and why my preference when I'm giving a retreat would be into a hall. Thanks. I like to speak in chapel, but it's too small. Very well. Want to bring the Blessed Sacrament into the hall? Father, what are you saying? This is a hall. Bring the Blessed Sacrament in. we need might. My true God, constant. Now, I 3, 6, 7. 7 recommendations. Not going to pray verbally. Not only to pray vocally, but pray internally. Whatever decision you make, I keep repeating, I beg you to meditate. And my favorite definition of meditation is thinking in the presence of God. Place yourself in God's presence and then start thinking. Try never, what a statement, try never to think alone. Ask Him for the light you need. Compare, balance the options that come to your mind. Be sure that your will is bent only on doing God's own will and not yours. And with your mind, make a decision. Having made a decision with your mind, and choose with your will. And then act. 7-point formula for living out the gift of counsel. Lord Jesus, how deeply grateful we are for endowing us with the gift of your Holy Spirit. The gift of counsel. The gift by which you, Holy Spirit, is always ready to direct our minds. My dear Savior, give us that intellectual humility to always, always live in your presence. Yes, sir.